We've allowed the media to define what love is. We've allowed the media to make it very emotional and put the right music on for the movie. And we've allowed a generation of children to grow up that have no clue what love is. And yet, our Father has given us a definition in 1 Corinthians, and it's something that you do. We must train our children to do love.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries, and I'm your host, Ruthie J, on this Valentine's week. Yesterday, we did talk a little bit about defining love. How is it practiced a little bit in the house? How we have to be an example of it in our marriages, and even if you're a single mom or dad, how to find practical ways to show love to other people and be that example to your kids.
Yeah.
Very important.
It's extremely important. It's here at Sheridan House. It's one of the things we have to work overtime on because many of the children arrive to live in one of these children's homes and have had a total misconception on what love is and been a lot of screaming at them. And, mm-hmm. and that, you know, really the consequence for unacceptable behavior has been a withdrawal of love or guilt. After all I do for you, how could you do this to me today? Or whatever it is. And so it's really, really important that we define love. And I got to tell you, one of the greatest moments of defining love is not when you put them to bed and rubbing their backs and hugging them. That's all important things. And it's not when they don't win the soccer game and you let them know you love them anyway. It was not about the win. That's an important time. But it's when their behavior is not the behavior you're looking for. The way we handle discipline is one of the most important expressions of love without backing down from the things we know that need to happen. There's a passage in Ephesians that says, "Fathers, don't anger your children. Instead, raise them up in the nurture and admonition of the love," or the love and instruction of the Lord. And so I've got to have a balance when I deal with my children. One of the problems is there are those parents that just love their children and want to be their best friend and just explode when after you're trying and trying and trying, you got that one child that you're going to give them just enough space, they're going to take you out.
Right.
And then you have that other child and you have that other parent who is a high-end disciplinarian. And if the children are doing what they need to do, they don't even know the children are in the building rather than go after and pursue and touch and be with the child. Mm. We've got to come up with a disciplinary plan that doesn't anger the children. And it's really found, I think, in 1 Corinthians 13:4. And it begins with love is patient and kind. And I really think to take that verse, that whole passage on the definition of love, and when you're dealing with your children, ask yourself, are you, take the word love out. When I'm dealing with my children and their behavior, I am patient and kind. Mm-hmm. Would my children say patient and kind? Or would my children say, boy, they do a lot of yelling. They do a lot of yanking me up. Somebody on the outside observing in our glass house how we handle unacceptable behavior, would they see someone patient and kind? And one of the challenges with this expression of love, of being patient and kind, is we're in a culture where we almost don't have time to be patient and kind. We're flying all the time. We're managing a child's schedule rather than nurturing a child's heart and training a child's brain. Mm-hmm. And we got to get them there, and you got to pick up this, and you got to go do that, and I can't believe you left that there. And what do you mean you don't have whatever it is you're supposed to have? And what happens is we have no margin time to be patient and kind as we allow the child to learn in the process. Instead, we're just managing that behavior.
But this is a big reality because you have homes where both parents are working. Mm-hmm. Mom is exhausted mm-hmm. when she comes home already, and the kids are exhausted. So they're, and dad comes home and just wants a calm, you know, evening too. And it's like the ultimate just to have enough patience to deal with that child who is exploding or doing something. And first of all, it's hard enough to find a good enough consequence. But then you say you have to be patient and kind, hold your tongue. Remember, these are children. These are children. These are children.
Yeah, they are children. And I have to remember that my withdrawal of love by yelling, screaming, berating, whatever is an unacceptable consequence. It doesn't do anything but eventually teach the child to yell and scream back rather than deal with the child's behavior. I want to deal with the child's behavior, not crush their heart. And I want to teach their mind to choose differently. But I think you said it well. And usually every house has that child, the alarm child. Mm-hmm. And that child is the child who hits the wall easily on the floor, sobbing, whatever. That is the child who expresses for the whole family, the thermometer explodes with this child. This is the child saying, we're too busy. Now, they don't know how to say that. Mm-hmm. And the frustration that we're not a family. We're like this collection of hummingbirds all going in all these different directions. I think the family you described is not untypical, but the family you described as being managed by its culture rather than choosing to manage itself. We've conformed to the pattern of this culture and our expectations for our children. children, and we have far too many activities we think they need to be in. Mm-hmm. Rather than deciding, I'm going to be in charge of the home, the outside activities aren't going to be in charge of the home. What my children say they want to do, their children, is not going to be in charge of the home. I'm going to come back. I'm going to be in charge of the home. We're not going to do everything. We're going to park the social media when we're home in the evening from dinner on, and I'm not going to do anything. I'm not going to do something all the time. We're going to be together. We're actually going to have a Thursday night game night where you get your homework done and we're all in, dividing the family in half, half against the other half, where we learn to laugh and dad loses the game and throws his napkin, the popcorn napkin, on the floor because he can't believe he's lost again, and having a great time. But teaching, investing, all we do is pull from these children, mm-hmm. from us, and we wonder why they're looking for peace in social media and other places.
And then, of course, you have the normal changes that happen with kids. They get into the middle school years, high school years, attitudes and all this. They think they're smarter than you. Mm. And it's like you need an extra dose of patience then. It's not just patience with them physically, but patience with how they're developing as adults, you know?
Yeah, we need an extra dose of patience, and we need to do it kindly. We need to understand that they're children, and we need to give that middle school, high school opportunity to make decisions that are going to be the wrong decisions, and there's a consequence. That's really a great training season that we sometimes miss by either letting them go completely until something goes wrong and reining them back, or slowly letting them go. And when you do this, this happens. You know, we park it at 6 o'clock. When you've used it after 6, I carry it with me for a day. I'll hand it back to you later. Whatever it is, mm-hmm. the mobile phone or whatever. But helping them learn the personal discipline, because I want to hand them off a plan that they can use. But I have to be patient and kind in doing it. It also says love is not jealous, boastful, or proud, or rude. I will not be jealous. I will not be boastful. I will not be proud. I will not be rude in the handling of this child. And if you, older brother, are working, as we all are, on being loving, then that was pretty obvious now, watching how jealous you are, your little sister. And the jealousy made you rude. And that's not loving. I do think one of two things needs to happen, and you need to decide what you want to do. Either go to her personally and apologize and ask her to forgive you, or write her a note and apologize and ask her to forgive you. Handle this any way you want. Remember, and you use the word, we're dealing with children. It's a process. That no one's going to be happy doing this. We're raising them to be marriageable individuals. Mm-hmm. And so in the process of doing this, it also says love does not demand its own way. Mm. Well, we're such a self-centered culture.
We always have to win the argument, don't we?
Oh, that's a perfect example. We have to win the argument. We have to get the last word in. And we have to help our children learn that they need to be slow to speak, slow to get angry, and quick to listen. But I need to role model that.
Yeah.
Listen, stop. You and I are going to listen to your little sister right now.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dad, we're just going to listen to her right now. We're going to let her get it said. She's all frustrated because we don't take the time. We're going to listen to her. Mm-hmm. And then when we listen to her, and we may not have the answer she wants, but we listen to her, I'm going to say to her older brother, come with me for a second. I got to get something. And say to him, you did a great job. Mm-hmm. You were patient and you were kind. Mm-hmm. That's what a mature person does. And you know what? He's going to sit there and roll his eyes, basically saying, are you done yet? And then all of a sudden you watch it come alive years later, because it's been a little investment and a little investment and a little investment. How will they know love if they aren't taught love? They will confuse love with lust.
Mm-hmm.
And when they confuse love with lust, then their whole life will be consumed with things they think they want,
mm-hmm.
Rather than things they need to do for another person. We're raising a marriageable child and helping them.
I got in an argument with my brother years ago when we were kids, and I remember almost slamming the door and saying, one day you're going to treat your wife just as bad as you treat me, you know? And the truth is, he doesn't. He's really good with his wife. But now looking back, I'm thinking, you know, what we learned, you know, we were also kids, but what you kind of teach your kids during that time, how to tolerate the other sibling and all mm-hmm. that is also good marriage lessons.
Oh, that's sitting on the side of their bed at night saying, I was so proud of you.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Dad, I watched you hold it. Yes, at the last minute, yes.
Mm-hmm.
But you were doing such a good job. I was so proud of you. You're getting there. You're making improvements here. Let's remember their children. Mm-hmm. But let's also remember, every time I lose it, I set the whole clock back. Mm-hmm. Oh, so this is something we're supposed to learn, but adults don't do it. Every time I lose it, I've got to apologize. I've got to role model this, whether my spouse is doing this or not. You know, love is not irritable. It keeps no record of wrong. That means when my children have done something and they've paid a consequence, I've erased it. I keep no record of wrongs. You paid mm-hmm. the consequence. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like Jesus. He says he forgives us as far as the east is from the west. And Roby, let me tell you, the fun thing about east is from the west, it's different north from the south. There's a pole. We're at the north. Oh, we're at the south. East is from the west. You never find it. You just keep going and it never gets there. He forgives you for all, everything, total. To cast it away as far as the east is from the west, to remember it no more. Mm. That's what we need to do here. We can't carry that. We can't keep a record of wrongs. I have to remember, and here's the hard thing for us as parents. Parenting is a two-decade process. I'm thinking three-decade in the process. And the parenting gets different and continues to change.
Yep.
But we're all in process. My Heavenly Father's still parenting me. And I'm 60-plus, and he's still parenting me. So the end of the day here, I've got to see that my job is not to complete the task. My job is to continue the training. Continue. But I got to look for little inklings of, Tori, the way you stopped and let Roby talk, that was patient and kind.
Mm-hmm.
That was mature behavior. That was awesome. That was adult. Well, Dad, sometimes he takes so long. I know, but you did it.
Mm-hmm.
I was so proud of you. I was watching you fidget, and you were so good. I want to give them something they can get an A in.
Mm-hmm.
They can win at this. But then this is something I've got to cheer for them.
Mm-hmm. And giving them little tips along the way, because sometimes they're not going to get it right at all until you show them, look, this is when your sister gets like that in her moods and she's just impossible to deal with, you be quiet.
Yeah.
Leave her alone.
Because
you know what? Honey, when you get married, you might have a wife that comes home really moody. Just leave her alone. Be loving. Get out of the way. And when she calms down, then you come back to it. Little trick there. And then, I don't know. That kind of worked in one situation.
Yeah, I want to show them what the win is, because so often we have a short-term version of the win,
mm-hmm.
and the win is take her out right here. I'm verbally better than her because I'm older. Take her out. No, the win is in you. Slow to speak, slow to get angry.
Mm-hmm.
That's the win for you. The win is to show a maturity of incredible, awesome discipline of backing away. Remember when we were teaching the dog, and you put that milk bone on the dog's nose, and the dog never ate that milk bone, though you know the dog wanted it, until you said, okay, and all of a sudden the dog popped it in the air and ate it. That was amazing discipline. The dog did that. We can do that. We can get that. And it was the same issue of the mouth. The dog didn't open his mouth until he knew it was the time to open his mouth. Teaching my children, identifying it. And I think if I just say, okay, here's why to do this, because when you get married, when you get married, I can't even look to Friday, let alone to look to a decade away.
It's you can't tell them that.
Yeah, it's right now. And I need to be cheering it right now. And I need to be the quick one to be encouraging it right now. I remember putting up a piece of paper, and I think it was on the refrigerator, where we were supposed to catch each other. You couldn't say it about yourself. You had to say it about another, doing something that was great for somebody in the family, and watching them slowly write things down about each other or about one of us or whatever. And I had to get jacked. I had to get into this. I had to write these things down. We only did this once, and that's a shame. We should have done it a lot. But watching them get into it and to allow me to say, that was great what you put down about Roby. Tori, that was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I read it to him and read it to him. You see, this mm-hmm. was meaningful.
Mm-hmm.
Helping my children turn a corner. They've got to see it in me, but I've got to, at our most intense moments, when we're dealing with discipline, when they once again have done something they know there's a consequence for, I'm not part of the consequence. Yes, you will have to sit here and write a 50-word note of apology to your mom for doing this, but no, I'm not going to yell and scream. I'm not going to yank you up. Sit there and write this note and then deliver it to your mom and say, Mom, I'm sorry. Here's the note.
Mm-hmm.
And when you're done with that, you're forgiven. You're forgiven. Proud of you for writing that note. I had to write the note. You made me write the note. Yeah, you're right. You couldn't get up until you wrote the note, but you sat down and you wrote the note. Tori, that was great.
Mm-hmm.
Roby, that was great.
You did it.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And not withdrawing my love, not making them feel isolated. It is me against the world.
Even though it's hard when you're upset and you're all wired
up. Well, it's hard if I'm upset. So if it's hard when I'm upset, what is it like for a 12-year-old? And so I need to role model that it can be done. And I need to even express it and say, you know, I was so mad. I could tell, Daddy, you were mad. I was mad. And I asked Jesus, help me control myself here.
Mm.
Help me not lose it here. I want to be an example. I want to act like an adult. And Tori, I know you can do this too. And Roby, you can do this too. And helping our kids get there. Love is not something you want. Love is not something you feel. Love is something you choose to do, and you do it for the right reasons. You do it for God. It takes 30-plus years to get there, but I'll never get there if somebody doesn't train me to get there.
You've been listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries, talking about this topic of love on this Valentine's week and day. And if you want to hear this program again, find it online at parentingtoday.org. You can share it with another friend who's parenting as well, or maybe with your spouse too. Again, it's at parentingtoday.org. And if you want more resources on parenting or marriage, or you even want to find out more about the ministry of Sheridan House Family Ministries and all that the ministry does, you can find that at shfm.org. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. That's shfm.org.